Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on this beautiful Monday afternoon. It's a Monday, and it's a Monday, and there are mass arrests going on at campuses around the nation. So I'm waiting to find out what's going to happen in Columbia, Columbia University in New York City. The Ivy League can't quite get their act together. Now, in Texas, by the way, they ain't playing. There's video all over the news right now. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. There's video all over the news down in UT Austin as these anti-Israel agitators are being dragged off. It's like they're playing a giant game of Red Rover. You know, they're all locking arms and nobody wants to move. It's all scary. Don't you come over here. We have our rights. And they're just, you know, they're taking over part of the campus and they're blocking people from going to classes. And they're also, by the way, calling for violence, some of them. And so, UT Austin, the state and the local have gotten together, and the men and women in blue are literally dragged. I watched one as they grabbed him by his feet, pulled him away from the people he had locked arms with, and then dragged him away by his feet. One of my favorite videos came out this past weekend. Emory University in Atlanta. Emory University. A Georgia State trooper was escorting someone away. Crazy thing was, I could not tell if it was a man or woman, but nonetheless, escorting this person away who was saying, "You're hurting me. You're hurting me." Well, just walk then, dude or dudette or whatever you are. And then went into, now, do you remember, and by the way, I know Big Rig, your kids are still small. Don't know if they've ever done this before. You know, when the kids are like toddler age, and you try to pick them up, and they don't want to be picked up, and so they do the whole limp noodle thing. And then
every day, I know about it.
Yes, yeah. You do. And then, like you're trying to deal with the limp noodle. All right, so the girl went limp noodle on the Georgia State Trooper. He bodily picked her up off the ground and carried her off like the bride going across the threshold. And the video, just watch him carrying her off into the distance. Old boy was strapped too. I mean, he looked like he'd been in the gym a few times. And he did not play. He just reached down, grabbed her, and she starts screaming. Things are falling out of her pocket. You know, it's like, what are you doing? You're hurt. And just walking off. People were laughing. It was wonderful. It's my new favorite video. I will get a few text messages before I go any further. Let me just do that. And then I'm going to bring you this this section I'm calling Protesting the Protesters. Because right now, there is there's video going on the major news networks that is clearly showing that people have about had it, like, stop. We'll talk about that momentarily. Let me grab a few text messages real quick. John from Huntsville says, "Hey, Phil, the night the NFL draft was on, I turned the TV on to see what was going on. I saw Nick Saban. I listened to him rant for a couple of minutes, and I couldn't take it anymore, so I turned the channel." So obviously,
John hates Saban, right?
John does not feel the same way as Hannah does about Nick Saban. It's painfully obvious. John, I'm pretty sure he's crying all the way to the bank about the fact that you don't like him, man. Mike from Athens says, "Any new developments on bringing Space Force back to Huntsville?" I have not heard anything on that. I don't think we're going to see anything until after the administration changes. Pray that it will. David from Athens says, "Phil, those tornadoes caused massive power outages up here in Huntsville and the rest of the Tennessee Valley, lasting for a week or more." I do recall, brother. I got family up there. Says our little subdivision, East Limestone County, lost power from 20 to 40 minutes, and a lot of us used our good fortune to help those that were in need. David, thank you for that. That's a great story. It really is. Yeah, it was amazing to look at a map and look at my Senate district, which at the time, 2011. Yeah, so at the time I had Northern St. Clair, all of Etowah, Southern DeKalb, and almost all of Cherokee counties. So picture that northeast corner. That was my Senate district number 10. And the tornado long track came almost to the edge. I mean, literally, like to the edge of it. And then split in two. And it made two long tracks that like just split down the middle and went on either side of my district. My district became an oasis for people that needed to get groceries or just go out to eat somewhere and, you know, and or go get their banking done because they couldn't do their banking back home or get gas for their cars. It was really something. But I had like you could throw a rock from the district line. You could throw a rock to a place called Shoal Creek Valley, where I think 11 people died. And it was tragic, but it was literally on the other side of the line from my district. Scott from Russellville talking about the NFL draft. Bo Nix went to Denver Broncos, 12th pick. Yep, we saw that. Thank you, brother. Devin from Brownsboro. Yep, Nix went to Denver. A lot of folks corrected me on that one. John from Lexington, South Carolina says, long time ago, Huntsville had an Arena Football League team. I remember I went to at least one or two games. Arena football was kind of cool. It's kind of crazy. I mean, like, they have to put a net up because the field's so short. They do the kickoff. It would bounce off the net. The receiver would turn around to catch it off the net as opposed to facing the oncoming team. Basically, had to turn his back to the oncoming team to catch the kickoff. That's the thing that stuck out in my mind. That, and it was very fast-paced, and you could tackle somebody, and they'd, like, almost like in hockey where you slam them against the boards. Anyway. Scott from Somerville says, I never knew Huntsville was renowned for their beaver population. I know. Beavers and trash pandas. It's a thing. Brand new in the text line, Bobby from Moulton. Bobby, glad you're there. You called earlier, and we're glad to have you around. Says, catfish toss from Bama to Tennessee. Since the mullets are being tossed from Florida. I see. You know what? This is catching on quick. Catfish toss.
Could be a thing. I'm telling you.
Could be a thing, man.
Who knows? I don't know. Catfish got that barb, though. I think it's still sticky.
Yeah, you got to watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. But that, you know what? The best sports are the ones where you have the risk of physical injury.
Yeah. True.
That's why, and I'm about to anger some people, that's why golf is not a real sport. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that? Only because I can't play. JT Lacey Springs says, NFL tidbit. Last time Auburn had a first-round pick was 2020. Last time Bama didn't have one was 2008. Thanks, JT. Appreciate you. Thanks. Dang. Steve from Huntsville says, Colonel, the world is on fire, and my heart felt like I need to say this for someone. God loves you. Steve, thank you for that. And I was talking to someone just a few moments ago who I think had a rough day and probably need to hear that. And yes, indeed. Mike from Huntsville says, if Columbia University doesn't know what to do, I bet the Alabama National Guard would be willing to take a road trip. Put them on orders, man. Carpe per diem. Go up there and do what they do. I'm just saying. It could be good. I got a caller on the line. I will take that real quick. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing okay, sir, but I listen to your monologue, and I anticipate your next segment. As far as resisting some of these college Hamas-supporting rioters, goodness. And I will say that no skin color is better than another. That said, though, God happened to choose my skin color to be white. I didn't choose that. God chose my DNA to be that of a male. I married a woman whose DNA was chosen by God. Now, I chose and choose to be a born-again Christian, and I believe in the Trinity. I chose to join the Army to defend our Constitution, which I read and I read and I still study. I chose to be a right-side ruffian. Now I need some advice, please, and what other ways than these may I help offend some snowflakes today? Because I am a white, straight, married, veteran, Christian, conservative.
Well, brother, aside from the fact that you live in the land of the SEC, I don't know what else you could possibly say to offend some of them. But just keep doing what you're doing, brother, and we'll think up some more categories to divide them away. How about that?
Thanks for the tips.
See you, man.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. Oh yeah, these snowflakes. So that's a great segue. I'll tell you what. I'm going to jump back in after this break. I got to tell you, when you've lost John Fetterman. And your biggest concern is bananas. It's a strange day for the libs. So yeah, we're gonna take a break right now. We'll come right back from this break, and we're gonna jump on into Dipper number three, protesting the protesters. Y'all, it just gets thick. And listen, like I said, when you've lost John Fetterman and bananas are verboten, it's a whole new day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all, stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, by the way, we're getting close to go-home time. I know some of y'all are looking forward to it, so let's take you all the way to the top of the hour. So the protests going on, we're hearing all about how the protesters, this is very important. We're going to go out here. We're going to protest and we don't even know what we're talking about, but we're going to do it anyway. And that's pretty much a lot of what we're seeing. Young skulls full of mush, some of whom are students, some of whom are just gullible, and some of whom are imported for the sole purpose of helping instigate these riots. And listen, some of the stuff that they're saying is just inane. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. I hope that one day they look back on these videos and go, oh my gosh, why didn't somebody stop me? Well, they tried to, but you would have none of it. You pitched your tent and you made your bed. And I hate it for them. But what's fun now is watching them wear out their welcome. And so I named this dipper protesting the protesters, because what you're seeing now is people on both the left and the right are saying, you know what, that's about enough of that. Now, what's crazy is, I don't know why, nobody would do this during the summer of love with Black Lives Matter. So I'm trying to analyze now from the standpoint of, are we seeing these protests go as far as they are, but yet they're cracking down on them now because people were fed up with what happened to Black Lives Matter and have sort of a never again attitude? Or is the topic different? Is it like, okay, you're gonna get out there and protest race, and we're scared to stop you. You accuse us of racism, but I don't think many people in the U.S. are buying the whole "let's hate Jews" thing. It's not working. There's enough institutional memory of the Holocaust for I think most people to go, that is the most misguided mantra I have ever heard. Listen, when you lose John Fetterman, which, by the way, Fetterman's actually kind of fun now. I mean, now that he's there, I'm going to have to recant. I mean, he's not the bumbling, you know, stumble along, cognitively depleted individual that I feared that he was. I still look at it and think he shouldn't have run. I still look at it and think, Pennsylvania, what were you doing? Why'd y'all push this guy with a stroke through the election process? But now that he's in, Fetterman has been surprising people. The left is like, wait, you're supposed to be our guy. Anyway, Fetterman came out recently and just slammed these college students. Story on the Daily Wire says, in a recent interview on News Nation, he talked about how many of them have gone violent. There's been hundreds of arrests. And he said this, he said, quote, "It's a great American value to protest, but I don't believe in living in, I don't believe living in a pup tent is really helpful to Hamas." He said, it's very clear that there's a germ of anti-Semitism in all these protests. He then went on to highlight like some of the anti-Semitic remarks that he's seeing at Columbia University, where like one student was shouting, "Zionists don't deserve to live." Okay. He said this, he said, "I support peace and I support a two-state solution." That's his opinion. But anyway, he says, "But you know, if the stuff hits the fan, I'm going to lean in on Israel." That's exactly what I've done. He said, "Everyone has a right to defend yourself as a nation, but you also have the right, I believe, to go after and eliminate Hamas, or at least to force them to surrender. Hamas could end it right now, immediately," he said. "They could release the last hostage, they could surrender, and all the misery and the death and destruction would end right there." Wow. That's John Fetterman. That's the liberal Democrat, a stroke victim from Pennsylvania. But nonetheless, one of the funniest moments. You can find it posted on my social media, by the way, at Sin Phil Williams, and also on Right Side Radio, I believe, but on Twitter. So I don't know if you saw this, Big Rig. It's very important you understand. Some people in the world apparently have a fatal banana allergy. Don't laugh, man. This is serious business.
I can't wait to hear this one.
Fatal banana allergy. So snowflakes at UCLA set up what they call their liberated zone. Had their tents, had their little bongos beating and drums and talking and wearing their kefiyas and dancing. And somebody in that protest zone thought it'd be very important to put up a sign saying that within the zone, there's a potentially fatal banana allergy. And so they wanted everybody to leave bananas out of it. I kid you not. I'm looking at the story right now from Twitchy. It's just one of many opportunities to read this story. Just go ahead and Google banana UCLA Palestine, and I guarantee you'll find it. But so, yeah, it's all around Camp Nitwit. They went ahead and posted up their signs warning everybody, don't bring bananas. Bananas are bad. Hey, we have someone here like with a banana allergy. Like, so don't bring any of the fruit banana stuff. Well, you can imagine what happened. So the next day, the pro-Israel protesters came back with bananas.
That's hilarious.
and they started dancing around with their Israeli flags draped around their necks, eating bananas and dancing and taunting the pro-Hamas sympathizers.
Literally,
this is how snowflakish they are. One of them got on their social media and went, they came back waving bananas like they were machine guns or something. and then somebody reported it to the administration.
They've got bananas.
Somebody tweeted, do you know if the school stepped in yet? This is vile. Imagine organizing a protest to include focusing on someone's individual medical conditions and taking actions to try and harm them. Somebody responded back, it's been reported, but UCLA's not done anything yet. How bad is this? The social media blew up. So I know we're almost out of time for this moment, but like one of them said, I'm sorry, I have a violent Hamas sympathizer allergy. If I show up to your protest, you must leave immediately. Someone else just talked about how, you know, they didn't need to be catered to constantly. Somebody else tweeted out, they got to stop sending Zionists these advanced weapon systems.
Apparently, it's very rare for this banana allergy.
Did you look it up?
Yeah, it's very rare. And it's like itchy throat and scratchy skin or
something. It's not deadly?
No.
I just can't imagine.
Can't find anything about it being deadly.
Somebody else tweeted, we advise against concealed carry. They get rather mushy. This is awesome. Protesting the protesters. Apparently, bananas are a trigger in some liberal circles. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More on this. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. And this show, man, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you who else covers a lot of ground. That's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers like a lot of ground in North Alabama. Places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. Every single one of them open 7 days a week. They will see all ages. And I always say geriatric down to pediatric. They'll see all of them. And folks, I'm just be honest with you. This is who I use personally. And I have for quite a while. Southern Immediate Care is great. I mean, I literally, every time I walked in the door of one of their facilities, it was always, you know, so clean and professional and friendly and get you in, get you out. So, yeah, I thought, you know what, I could brag on this, man, I could. And I went to him and I said, would you consider? And they said, you know what, yes. Turns out the chain was owned by a Right Side ruffian, so that kind of helped. But, yeah, Southern Immediate Care, clinics everywhere. If you need medical attention, even on a Saturday, you look them up, find the location nearest to you, and just head on down. And by the way, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. I'm about to go to the phones. It's not on the board, but I think we got somebody on the phone. But let me say this real quick. I just got a text from Mr. Hill from Pumpkin Center. He says, I am pro BMDs. That's bananas of mass destruction. let me go to the phone, man. Is somebody on there? Oh, is that Jeff? Jeff Rowe from Indiana. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana. Daylight come and we won't go home.
They should have gone and played that on loudspeaker in front of that that whole protest zone.
I think they should have.
And how about, yes, we have no bananas. We have no... I could see it, man. There's got to be plenty of banana songs out there we can come up with.
Or just somebody show up as Banana Man.
And then there was the theme song from the Banana Splits back when you and I were both kids. That's I can just see it.
But I can't remember it. I know who you're talking about. It's Hanna-Barbera, baby.
Hanna-Barbera had all the good stuff.
Well,
what do you think about this? And protesting the protesters. I mean, they've lost John Fetterman. They're getting dragged off their campuses right now. We're still waiting to find out what Columbia University is going to do. But in the red states, at the very least, you're seeing protesters being dealt with.
My twist on this is who's funding all this stuff? I mean, you've got some leaders, and then you got a lot of lemmings, because the lemmings have no clue what they're doing. They're just following the leader, you know.
Right.
And can it be that if we know that there's going to be crimes committed and everything, does this be a conspiracy? Any kind of criminal activity that you're funding a criminal activity? Could you be a kind of a racketeering charge or anything? Or is there anything you can be charged with if you're funding disturbances like this?
That's a yes and a no. So here's the thing. You got to have what they call proximate cause. You got to have the ability to prove, and you can have civil penalties as much as you could have, you know, criminal. So you could sue somebody for property damage. You could sue them for, you know, threats and harassment. You can sue them for different things. You can even sue them for mental or emotional distress based upon the fact you can't go to class, you paid all this money for tuition or whatever, depending upon the various state laws. But here's the thing, man. I had an article last week. A lot of these organizations, the background organizations, are being funded by George Soros's, Open Societies organization, and go figure. But that being said, if they give a grant to an organization, money's fungible. All they have to do is say, well, it didn't go for that, you know. And so you have to prove the causal connection from the money to the crime, and then the conspiracy for the money to come there for the crime. So there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering about that, because, like I say, it's almost like a racketeering thing. It's like we're trespassing, and we have these demands, and we're not going to move, you know, until you meet these demands. It'd be kind of like, you know, the gang going into the Chinese restaurant saying, you know, hey, pay up, buddy, or something bad's going to happen here, you know. So it's almost like a racket. It's like something like that, I would think.
Now, if you can find a silver bullet, like, you know, the smoking gun, if you can find an email or a recording of a meeting or a Zoom call or something where they said, okay, listen, we're going to send you a grant. Use that money to go and screw something up. Go use that money to go and, like, tear things down on campus and make sure you shut down the campus and make demands they can't answer, and we'll pay you for it. If you find that, it's game on, man. But the question is, in some of these venues, like in New York City, they're more worried about trying Trump for a misdemeanor. They could care less about stuff like this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even if they did pick up these people on any kind of charge other than basically murder, you know, there's no bail. They just let them on out and go back to the protest, you know. So.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Through the revolving door of getting arrested.
Well, but you know what the other fun part of this is? They may not wind up seeing much in the way of these criminal penalties for being arrested at the scene, but a lot of them are about to start losing their college careers. They're going to get suspended from campus. They're going to lose the ability to transfer their credits, and their scholarships are going to be gone. And they're going to hope somebody somewhere will let them come because they have a big high ACT score. And most campuses are going to look at them and go, "Yeah, thank you anyway, but no."
If Columbia and stuff would have the kahunas to sit there and back up what they're saying, and don't cross this line, don't cross this line, don't cross this line, and just keep backing up and put some teeth in it, they would disperse immediately if they start to take away their scholarships and their diplomas and everything else.
Yeah, the problem with this, too, is the local municipalities are not always a help. I mean, New York City's dragging its feet on doing something. The NYPD's not able to get called in. And then like Charlene was telling me this morning that in Washington D.C. The mayor is refusing to, I think she said that the mayor was refusing to allow the authorization for the Washington Police Force to be called in at Washington University.
So in Washington, if somebody gets hurt that called the police and they don't show up, can they charge her with dereliction of her duties?
I would hope so. But the best thing they could also do is vote her out next time. But that's, it's just amazing how much they get away with.
Well,
it's good to be a liberal, right?
We're talking about Washingtonville. Look at that old Marion Barry or whatever, cocaine and everything else and stuff. And they just kept electing the same guy back.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's a drug addict.
Oh, boy, smoked crack with hookers. And next thing you know, he probably hung out with Hunter Biden. But still, wow. All right, man. Hey, listen, where are you right now?
I'm climbing the hill out of Nashville Valley here. I'm on the good end of Nashville.
Oh, good deal. All right, well, be safe on the road. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one, Phil.
See you, buddy. So Monty from Huntsville just texted in and says, what about all the marching, all the matching T-shirts and camping gear? Isn't that a direct link? I absolutely think so. I mean, we were sitting in the studio last week before anybody was talking about this. And Big Rig and I were looking at the screen, yeah.
All the tents were exactly the same. Like they bought it at like a department
store. Like somebody ran down to Walmart and said, we need every tent you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the credit card. I'd like to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know. John C. from Madison said, the students should be expelled and trespassed. The professors that are involved should also be fired immediately with no pension. I'm with you, John C. Brian from Huntsville, why do snowflakes not get baptized? Because most melt in water. Okay. Brian from Decatur says, where is Darwin when you need him the most? Yeah, the Darwin Awards. We're going to find some stuff. So, interesting thing. There's somebody who's running for president that just got arrested at one of the protests. Did you know this? Green Party candidate, like the long shot, not going to do anything in the big picture candidate. Jill Stein, who, by the way, is a longtime avid feminist. But Jill Stein was arrested protesting on the campus of Washington University in St. Louis. But she's so proud of it, she posted it to her presidential campaign website. Here is the presidential candidate getting arrested at a pro-Palestinian protest. Literally, the only thing that Biden's worried about is she's going to steal about 100 of his votes. Still, that's amazing to me that somebody who is a nationally known figure is out there. Susan Sarandon, the actress, was out there with the protesters. Of course, Ilhan Omar, who's a member of Congress, was out there with the protesters. It's nuts. Cal Poly, they're sick of it. So Cal State Polytechnic in Humboldt, California, issued a statement to all the brats who have commandeered two. By the way, I saw some video of the damage they've done. They've gone through and graffitied the interior hallways of the school and seized buildings. There's two buildings that the school's not even able to get into, which I'm like, what are you talking about? Can't get into. Are they in there? Are they armed? Are they holding Molotov cocktails and zip guns? What's happening in there? They have one, they call it Intifada Hall. They've taken over a school building and called it, anyway. By the way, Intifada is a word that many take to mean killing Jews. But the school issued a statement. They're not having it anymore. They're basically saying this is over with. They said the concern is the ongoing unlawful occupation of campus buildings by students and non-students and other criminal acts like vandalism, theft, destruction of property, and intimidation of employees. These ongoing occupations have created safety hazards. All right, it's fair enough. But what are they going to do about it? They're saying it has nothing to do with free speech. They're right, but what are they going to do about it? But then they come back and they say, it's too early to assess the cost of illegal activities. We estimate it in the millions. Wow. Okay, but what are they going to do about it? They're sick of it. But the true cost is not doing something. So here's the deal, Cal Poly. Go get them out of there. And then press charges. And not like a little bit. Search all their social medias and find pictures where they're crowing about spray painting the hallways and then press charges. It's not rocket science. Or you could throw a banana at them. That works too, I understand. So apparently, like to get rid of a vampire, it's a cross and some garlic. But with pro-Palestinian protesters, it's a banana. That's the way it works.
Makes sense.
I see this now as there's a movie coming. I feel certain. Somebody's going to make a little movie short, and it's going to be Babylon B needs to make a movie out of this. All you got to do is throw a banana at them, quell the riot. Don't bring the tear gas. Just bring the Chiquita banana and call it done. All right, take me to the last break of the day, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. I'll get a few more text messages, and I'll tell you about a couple more moments where campus protests are being protested. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, I got to tell you guys, in case you hadn't already heard, we announced it last week. Right Side Media is the parent of Right Side Radio. Right Side Media just launched its next level of conservative content. It's a video podcast available on our website at rightsideradio.org. So rightsideradio.org. You can go to the podcast tab, and there's a brand new thing there called The Right Philosophy. It's a video podcast. I film it at my house. Picture like my monologues that I do at the beginning of the show, but in video form, I'm saying, you know, the things that you've come to expect from the show, like matters of faith and patriotism and military service and work ethic and, you know, the principles of our Constitution. And anyway, we've got four episodes up there right now. And the fifth episode should land on Wednesday. I just finished filming it this past weekend. So stand by for that. But yeah, we're pretty excited about it. So now we have the, of course, the hub still remains the radio live every day, 3 hours on multiple stations around North Alabama and generating, you know, even audience interaction with neighboring states. And then there's also the fact that Big Rig takes the live show every day, turns it into a podcast of its own, puts it out there where folks can get to it, and that one's like going crazy. And so that's all cool. And then we've got my latest op-ed came out today, and 1819 usually runs it first on Mondays, and then about a dozen or more news outlets around the state pick it up later. And now we've added video podcasting. So check it out, rightsideradio.org's got all our stuff on it, and you can go right there and get it. So JT from Lacey Springs just texted in. He says, a crowd dispersal method. Start turning off their cell phones. You know, brother, you are right. In fact, I've thought about this. What if they brought in some type of a jammer? Because they have those. What if they jammed the signal? Of course, that would also impact emergency services and other people who are innocent bystanders. But yeah, I am almost positive that there's a means by which you can selectively target an area and make it impossible for people to use their cell phone. I say go for it. And here's the other thing. Turn off the Wi-Fi. Make them burn through their data. But if they're over there using their campus Wi-Fi, shut her down. Anyway, there's ways. I mean, next thing you know, there won't be any batteries in the Game Boy, and they won't know what to do. Kelly from insurance. Kelly says insurance companies should refuse to pay college damages due to inaction to take prudent. That's a great point, Kelly. That's a great point. By the way, would you amend Kelly's? It should be Kelly from Huntsville. It just says Kelly right now. But yeah, that's a great point, because if they're not going to do something to clear these people out, and then they're going to apply for an insurance reimbursement later because of damage to the property. Wow. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I have to say you lost all of your 10 extra points. What? But I'll still give you a solid A, which is still way better than the B- I gave to Hannah Stevens, which means today's winner is obviously Big Rig with an A++.
So I won by default.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not sure what I did. I guess the fact that I allowed her to talk about Nick Saban was all he needed.
Yep. Yeah. A lot of Nick Saban comments. So
too many. There's too many, I suppose. By the way, as I wrap up this day, let me just tell you. So protesting the protesters, what's amazing to me is these snowflakes and the things they ask for, the demands they make. So the AP has a story. Came out yesterday. College protesters want amnesty. Let me get this straight. They want to take over part of the campus. They want to wreak havoc. They want to shut down the school that people are paying tuition to attend. They want to listen, what's the cost for the law enforcement response to all this? It's epic because the amount of overtime you're having to bring in off-duty officers to do stuff. So, yeah, Mariam Alwan figured the worst was over after New York City police in riot gear arrested her and other protesters, loaded them onto buses, and held them in custody for hours. Story on the AP. But the next evening, the college junior received an email from the university. She and other students were being suspended. No. Their Gaza solidarity encampment tactics across the campuses around the nation have not been falling upon favorable terms. And they're now finding themselves going, well, you're not going to there's not going to be like consequences for our behavior, is there? I mean, the worst mommy ever did was give me a timeout and I couldn't play my video games for at least an hour. And that was... She said, this particularly sad little snowflake figure says, this feels very dystopian. Okay, whatever. Yeah, dystopian, like the end of the world as we know it. All, listen, all said and done, America's still here. We are still here. Our flag is still flying. And when in doubt, throw a banana at them. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, you guys have an amazing night. We'll see you tomorrow.